KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
26 degrees here under mostly cloudy skies, with your temperature holding it right steady at that mark here this morning. We look for a high of 30 today with mostly cloudy skies and northwest winds at 10 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy to cloudy and a low of around 20. We picked up a storm total of 8 inches of snowfall here at the KJN studios. 2 inches of that received after 7 a.m. yesterday. And we do expect conditions to start to improve here throughout the day. A lot of roadways here across southwestern Iowa still listed as travel not advised here this morning by the Iowa Department of Transportation. And that's largely due to ice accumulation being an issue. After some of that plowing did occur yesterday, you've got the wind whipping around and things that did get treated a little bit, then maybe glazed over here during the overnight and early morning. So do be cautious if you are doing any traveling, but still safest to stay out of that here this morning if you can. Things will improve throughout the day. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in-state and local news here on KJAN. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office has made another arrest following an investigation that began on Wednesday, January 13th. On Friday at approximately 3:40 p.m., deputies arrested 58-year-old Donna M. Tiemeyer of Farragut for a controlled substance violation, a Class C felony. Tiemeyer was taken to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $100,000 bond. The investigation had previously led to the arrest of Henry B. Ballard. Ballard has now additionally been charged with a drug tax stamp violation. Officials with the Iowa Department of Public Health on Friday said they spoke with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention regarding expected increases in vaccine allocation. According to IDPH, they continue to be in close communication with their federal partners and will provide updates as they learn more. Sarah Ekstrand says, "At this time, we continue to move forward with our targeted plan to ensure a swift and equitable process. Iowa is currently vaccinating individuals in Phase 1A, which includes healthcare personnel and residents and staff of long-term care facilities. The next phase, Phase 1B, will include Iowans age 75 and over, as well as other high-risk populations. This next phase will begin receiving vaccinations no later than February the 1st. The department has created a timeline, which you can find linked up on this story on our news page, to help Iowans understand when they can expect to get their vaccination. According to Ekstrand, this approach focuses on Iowans who are most vulnerable to exposure to COVID-19 or high risk for illness as a result of a COVID-19 infection, with a significant focus on equity. Some examples include individuals with disabilities living in home settings, correctional facilities, other congregate settings, and meatpacking plant workers. Definitions and examples of individuals that are included in Phase 1A and B can also be found there through a link on this same story on our website. As the IDPH moves into the next phase, more settings and locations for vaccinations will become available. Some may receive vaccines at employer-based clinics. Others may receive theirs through healthcare providers, pharmacies, and clinical settings that are equipped to handle screening and scheduling for vaccination efforts. There are approximately 1,700 enrolled vaccine providers in the state. County health departments may partner with these providers to ensure their residents have access to the vaccine when it becomes available. IDPH will continue to urge Iowans that while the vaccine is still a scarce resource, to practice virus mitigation efforts, continue to wear a mask or face covering, practice social distancing with those outside of your household, clean your hands frequently with soap and water, and stay home if you feel sick. Police in Council Bluffs report officers responded around 3:40 p.m. Friday to the Subway restaurant at 208 East Broadway Street following a reported robbery that had just occurred. Officers were given a description of the suspect, a black male wearing a black hoodie, light-colored pants with a light mask who displayed a handgun, and a direction of travel. Within minutes, officers located the suspect in a white Chevy Impala with paper plates in the general area of the business. A traffic stop was made on the vehicle, and the driver or lone occupant was detained. He was identified as 30-year-old Tyrese Abdallah Brown, a known transient. Officers reviewed the surveillance video from the business and matched up the offender of the robbery to the man who was detained. Upon a search of the suspect vehicle, elements of the robbery were discovered. The employee of the business told officers that the suspect entered the business, displayed a handgun, and made threats and demanded cash. The man took an undisclosed amount of cash from the business and fled the area on foot prior to officers making the traffic stop. Brown was arrested for robbery in the second degree and harassment in the first degree. No one involved in the incident was injured. There were no other witnesses to the crime. Brown was transported to Pottawatomie County Corrections and booked in. Anyone with information that was in the area at the time of the incident is encouraged to contact the Council Bluffs Police Investigations Division or Crime Stoppers. Atlantic Rescue and Cass EMS were called to the scene of a semi-tractor trailer rollover Friday afternoon. The crash happened a little before 3 p.m. off I-80 westbound, just west of exit 54, the Elkhorn exit. The semi went into the north ditch. The driver was said to have been complaining of arm and other pain. There were numerous other accidents along Interstate 80 that caused closures or delays throughout the day yesterday, with the blizzard impacting the region. Additional details are not currently available. Tow bans still in place across many counties here across the area, so it'll be a while yet before some of those vehicles are able to be pulled out of the ditch. Police and firefighters in Omaha, Nebraska evacuated a Creighton University dormitory after a student told emergency room staff that she had tried to make the poison ricin in her dorm room in an attempt to harm herself. The Omaha World-Herald reports that officials also shut down the Creighton University Medical Center emergency room on the university's campus as a precaution. Omaha Police Officer Joseph Nickerson says the scramble to head off any possible ricin exposure began around 9 p.m. on Thursday when police were contacted. About 50 Creighton students were evacuated from Davis Square apartments and moved to other campus housing. Nickerson says a hazardous materials crew cleaned the building. The Cass County Conservation Board is holding a cabin fever escape program. The program, an open house, will be held at the Outdoor Educational Classroom outside of Messina on Saturday, January 23rd. The event will take place from 1 to 4 p.m. and is free for all ages. The board invites you to cure cabin fever by spending some time outside with family-friendly fun. You can bring your mugs, sleds, dress for the weather, and snowshoes will be available. And if you get to cold, warm, and tasty drinks, and a movie will be playing inside the lodge. There will be no snow activities planned as well. To get to the outdoor classroom, take Highway 148 south of Messina, turn left on Tucson Road, and follow it east for about 2 miles, then make a right-hand turn into the parking lot. The Cabin Fever Escape Program qualifies for the Cass County Conservation Board's 120 Hours Outdoor Challenge, so don't forget to use hashtag 120 Hours Casco IA as a hashtag for your adventures. And also in other news, one of the largest jackpots in U.S. history is growing larger. There was no winner of Friday's drawing for the Mega Millions $750 million jackpot. It would have been the fifth largest jackpot ever drawn. Now the next top prize is estimated to grow to $850 million. That would be the third largest of all time. The drawing is on Tuesday. Lottery players still have a chance to win big this weekend. The Powerball jackpot is up to $640 million for the drawing here today. No one has won either game's top prize in months, and it's been nearly 2 years since a lottery jackpot has grown this large. That's a look at some of the latest in area news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here for you this morning. Wiley Dwayne Bussey, age 81, of Oakland, died Tuesday at his home east of Oakland. A memorial service for Wiley Bussey will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Mass will be required, social distancing encouraged, and Reconvened Funeral Home is assisting the family with arrangements. Dorothy A. Grogan, age 72, of Audubon, died on November 26th at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. Celebration of life services for Dorothy Grogan will be held on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Dorothy's memorial service will be live-streamed on the funeral home's Facebook page as well, beginning at 11 a.m. Neoma Ann Vanderheiden, age 90, of Harlan, died on December 31st at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A massive Christian burial for Neoma Vanderheiden will be held on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. LMR Frederick Sudman, aged 85, of Walnut, died Saturday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Graveside services for LMR Sudman will be held on Saturday at 1 p.m. at the St. Paul Lutheran Cemetery in Trainer. Hockenberry Funeral Home Atlantic has the arrangements. Thomas Grant Rogers, age 88, of Council Bluffs and formerly of Griswold, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Thomas Rogers will be held here today at 2 p.m. at the Griswold United Methodist Church. Reconvened Funeral Home in Griswold is assisting the family with arrangements. Jerry Rosenbeck, age 76, of Exira, died on January 8th at the VA Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Jerry Rosenbeck were originally scheduled for yesterday, but have been postponed until Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the Odie Funeral Home in Kimbolton. COVID guidelines regarding social distancing, wearing of masks, and hand sanitizing will be observed during the service and visitation. Mary Elizabeth Nichols, age 79, of Elkhorn, died Tuesday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Memorial services for Mary Elizabeth Nichols will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Ronald Dean Akers, age 64, of Walnut, died on Wednesday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Private family funeral services for Ronald Dean Akers will be held Monday at 2 p.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Robert Leroy Stewart, age 90, of Council Bluffs, died Thursday at the Hillcrest Care and Rehab Center in Council Bluffs. Private family mass of Christian burial for Robert Leroy Stewart will be held on Saturday, January 23rd at 1 p.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. And Ron Shipley, age 71, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at home. A celebration of life service for Ron Shipley is currently pending at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.